Here up to the Gemara Mitzvah, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines before the end of 58b. So I assume we're at 58b3. I guess. We just had a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel. How much discount does the Sekrikin who gave it for free give to the buyer? Because it's all profit. Rav says he gives him a 20% discount. And Shmuel says he gives him a 25% discount. So the question was, he paid $1,000, right, to the Sekrikin, how much more do you have to add to the owner? According to Shmuel, you would have to add $333, which is 25% of the total price. According to Rav, you would have to have $250, which is 20% of the total price. And if you give him land, Rav would say you give him 20%, and Shmuel will say you give him 25%. The question is, what was Rebbe's takana? Rebbe made in a takana, he said, don't bother finding out each case. This is what happens. It's a quarter. How Rebbe figured it out? I don't know. But once he figured it out and made the takana, this becomes the takana. That's right. We're going to ask a question on Shmuel. Zumishna Rishayna. This is a price at the beginning used to be that when you bought from Sekrikin, your mekel didn't count. Because we said the guy never meant to sell it. Mishnah, Bezin Shalachrayim Amru. Later on, Bezin said, Halakayach Menas Sekrikin, Naisin Lebayel Revia, Viyadbayel Lemao Yaina. You give a quarter, again, quarter undefined, whether we mean a quarter of what you paid or a quarter of what the final total will be. At this point, it's undefined. We will see in a minute. And the owner gets a choice. Run to the karka. He can ask for the revia to be paid in land. Nightland, he can take it that way. Run to the mas nightland. That's when the owner can't afford to buy it. So he has a claim that he wants the revia. Avo, if they have the means to buy it back, no one should be buying it back. That was the second takana. Rabbi Haishav Bezin Benimnu, Shem Shasim of Nei Sekrikin Shnei Masur Chedesh, that if it stayed in front of the Sekrikin for 12 months, Kalakaydam Likach Zachav, whoever buys it can keep it, because if the owner didn't buy it back in 12 months, you don't have to worry whether he has the means or not. Avol, Naisin Labailam, and here comes the Kashra Shmuel. Revi Bekarka, Oy Revi Bemas, either a Revi in land, or a revi of money, which is mashma, like Rav. You give a quarter of the money, or land worth the quarter of the money, which is a fifth of the land. And that's the Kashan Shmuel, who said you have to give a third of the money. You have to give 33%, not 25%. Let me just emphasize the Gemara. Amravashi ki tanya hi lachashabo amas liyadai. That price is saying, when you finish paying, it'll end up being a quarter of the money. That's what you wanted to say.
Yeah.
Okay. That's why I said the Gemara's answer. Rashi. Don't you, Rashi? Zur Mishnah Rishayna. Rashi the Masnis in the 20 Mekhle bottle that says the sale is bottle. I revive him as Kachal the Shmuel. Ki Tanya revive him as La'acha Shabol Shlish Hamas Liad Bailam. After he paid him 33% of what he paid, Karlu Shmuel, Karlu Revia, now it's a quarter. The Shloisha Shlishi Nasalev Chachavim. He gave the guy 3/3. Lazash Shlish, and he gave the Yid an other third. Hari Abba. That's 4/3, so what he paid is a quarter of the total price. Vachi Gamer. Nice in the Bible, Revia Sakarka, either 25% of the land. A Moss Shir Shi Revia, because it's the Star of Shalev Chachavim Shabbailim. Or money that will be a quarter when you combine his total expenses. Yishobaylam Revia Bekula. So again, when you say you give the owner a quarter, do you mean a quarter of what you paid, which is 20% of the total, or a quarter of the total, which is you're giving him 33% more than you paid? That's the Machloikas, Rav and Shmuel. Something about right. I'm a Rav. I know how the Gemara gets off now on a tangent. I was on that bezin when we voted, when Rebbe made this takana with his bezin. I was a member of this bezin. And they started with me first. I was the first one to take on the vote whether we should make this takana or not make this takana. I was there. I was there when Rebbe made this takana, and I was the first one to vote.
So they don't do all in favor say aye. They go to each one.
Yes. Yes.
You go to the smallest paper.
Well, this is what we're going to get involved in. Thank you for introducing the next one.
I didn't prepare Rebbe.
Baruch Hashem, your mama said, Adam Gottel, so you, Kayin HaGottel Meyachov. I know how it been beyond the Bay Rebbe, but I used to mean in Shetiknu, Shekar HaKayim Likak Zaka. The Rebbe said, after a year, you just can buy it. Umino di doa money beresha. Mi meni shalu tchila. They asked me first, Bishura in the row, Sheyinu Yaish where we were sitting, my daiti naita, what do I think? Dr. Ashi, Rav was considered in the middle of the group. He wasn't at the top of the group.
The level of chashivas
of his learning. Which is very interesting because Rav was one of Rebbe's main talmidim. Rabbi Eichon says in the Gemara in Chulin that he sat many rows behind Rav. But still, Rav was considered ben abeinim, Rashi says. I heard from others that Rav was the smallest, the least chashiv, and they started with him. But Rashi says he feels he was in the middle. Correct the Gemara.
This is talking about, are they in courts or they are in psak?
I fail to see the difference.
Is this...
Rabbi gathered his best to decide whether he should make this takana.
How many were there? This is really going to the...
Doesn't say. I don't know how many people were there. All I know is the Rebbe gathered them to make this takana. They voted whether they want to make the takana or not. Rebbe didn't do it on his own. He did it with his best. Rav says, I was a member of the best and I got to vote first. Rav doesn't tell you which way he voted. Our problem is, why was Rav first? Vanantan, we learned, Dine Mamelis, Vataharis, Vatumis, Maschilim, Nagadl. By monetary cases or questions of Tum and Tara, we always let the biggest one vote first. In this case, Rebbe should have voted first. Dine Nefashis, Maschilim, Nagadl. And Dine Nefashis, we start from the bottom or from the middle. Not from the greatest. And that's based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, Al Lisana Al Riv. We dash in Lisana Al Rav. It's talking about Dini Nefashis. It's right afterwards. It talks about Dini Nefashis. And it says, Lisana Al Rav. Do not argue with the greatest one in Bezin. So therefore, in order to have a vote that was fair, if you can't argue with the greatest one in Bezin, and he votes first, it's going to be impossible for the others to vote. Because they can't argue with him. Live in the Torah. So therefore, by Dini Nefashis, we let him vote last. But that only applies to Dini Nefashis. Everything else, the head of the Bezin votes first. So why was Rav first? Rebbe should have been first. That's the Gemara's Kasha. I didn't rank them. I have no idea. I wasn't there. But Rashi's saying Rav was when I made it. So I guess they ranked them. Now the truth is, I don't know how many people sat here. But the Mishnah Sanhedrin says that when there was a Sanhedrin, a Bezin of 23, they had three rows of students in front of them, ranked from top to bottom. So if one guy left Bezin, he died, retired, got sick, they used to call one of the students up, and it went in a pecking order. So if you sat row one, number one, you got called up. If you sat row three, number 23, when number one got called up, everybody moved up one seat, you now became row three, number 22. So they did rank them. But that was in Bezin of 23. I don't know what kind of Bezin Rebbe had. It was well after the Korban Beis HaMikdash.
So the seating in that case was in order of rank.
In the Talmidim, it was in the order of rank. In the Bezin, it seems like the bigger ones were in the middle, and the smaller ones were to the sides.
I mean,
now, it wasn't 1 through 23. it was the bigger ones in the middle, flanked by the ones that were smaller than them. That's what it seems. Emtza minatzad. Emtza is where Rebbe sat. Minatzad is where the Talmidim sat. How they sat, I don't know. Rav was in the middle, and he got to vote first. And the Gemara's kasha is, why? This is not a dine nefashis, this is a dine mamonis. And the Mishnah says that by dine mamonis, you start from the big one, not from the side. That's the Gemara's kasha.
The whole lumped is because if the best guy, I mean, the Rav is there, if he says it, you have no say because he's right.
The Tyrus, it's a Tzeres HaGassav.
I know that, but that doesn't...
That's a Tzeres HaGassav. It's interesting, because you're allowed to question, and you're allowed to argue, but in the vote, you can't vote against him.
Because
the Tyrus said, because the Tyrus said, Lisa Na'ariv.
Right. Now, I would do a Paul Bacomer.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Meaning, you can't, by need nefashos, you want to be as fair as possible, afilu haki, if he said it first, you can't argue, right?
Yes, you can. You can argue all you want. You can't vote differently.
The bottom line...
It's a big difference. You can argue with them. You can tell him he's wrong.
Oh, you mean, even though he might change his mind?
Yes.
Oh, he might change his mind.
When you cast your vote, you have to agree to him?
You can't... he has to vote last. So you shouldn't vote against him. Even if you know what he's going to vote like. The Torah has Xeris HaKasav. So the question is, that Xeris HaKasav was Medina Nefashis. This is Dini Mamelis. Why isn't Rebbe voting first? And for the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Breid, Rabbi Vitamer of Hillel Breid, I don't know what's Vowels, Vilas, I don't know. Shaini Minyan to the Bei Rebbe, the Kulam and Yunai Menatzar HaVamaschilim. So Rashi learned that Rebbe held that the Xeris HaKasav is my mumminess also. That's how Rashi learns this thing. In Rebbe's Bezin, they always started from the side. Because all they held, you can never argue in the Gadol. They argued on that Mishnah, that Rebbe's a Tana. He argued in that Mishnah that said that by Dine mumminess is no problem. He learns the Pasuk is by all Dine. That's how Rashi learns. Taisa says no. Taisa said Rebbe did it because of Anivus. Enoch and Nami Rebbe agreed halachically he's supposed to vote, he can vote first, and they can argue. But Rebbe was a humble person. He didn't want to vote first. He didn't have to vote first. He's allowed to vote first. Rebbe exercised his right as Bezin said to say, I vote later. Rashi. Look to Rashi. Right? That's in the case of Tumatara. They want to know what people are posturing. He shouldn't say guilty. And everybody else will humble themselves in front of him. The Gemara there darshan that you need a different majority by dinin nefashis. Learned out from that same pasuk. And therefore we say the pasuk is talking about dinin nefashis. They won't be able to vote innocent. The kulam in yoneh minatzad matzchilin, which is meitzan ariv. Ksiv chosu b'lo yud. I don't know if Rashi explains the drasha here, not before. Pasuk says meitzan ariv, but it's not spelled riv; it's spelled rav. The shina meitzan ariv lesaklik amuklus shebebezin. Do not argue on the greatest one in bezin. Leimukmal elevation the krab adin in the pasuk. And Rebbe did not learn that that is only going by Dina Nefashis. The Abba got the same with the crowd and took him up with Dina Nefashis. Even though the end of the Pasuk is by Dina Nefashis, unlike the Mishnah that said the whole Pasuk is by Dina Nefashis, Rebbe learned this part is by all Dina. This is Rashi's opinion. Tysus says he doesn't argue on that. Tysus says it doesn't seem that way. It doesn't make sense that Rebbe would argue with the Mishnah that Sanhedrin even though he can. But Rabbi Tzitzis learned it was an anivus. He didn't want to be first. Valus. Rashi's telling you the correct spelling of the Amira's name or the Amira's father's name. Bereid the Reb Valus. I think it's pronounced Valus. How does Arto pronounce Valus?
V-A-L-A-S.
Okay. Zog to Gemara Vayter.
I mean, Anivas, a lot of change. The pasuk.
Pasuk saying it's usher by dinin nefashos to argue in the greatest one. The pasuk does not say that by dinin mamelis it's usher. It's 100% mutter, and therefore, if you come to Bezin and it's a dinin mamelis, and there's no serious custom limiting your ability to argue, you should start with the first one logically. He's the oldest. He's the biggest. Don't you want to hear what he has to say?
That's right.
So Rebbe had anivas and said, "Listen to everybody else before me." It's not mechuyev to have the oldest one first. It's allowed. Rebbe said, "I'm Michael."
I would have said this. I wouldn't have said that. I would have said this is the way it has to be.
Why does it have to be? When does the parent say that?
Inference from the question.
That, but there you're not allowed. Here you are allowed. Logic says if you're allowed, that's what you do because you give cover to the oldest one. Not if he says I don't want to be first.
The oldest one's, I have the same question. The oldest
I like to hear that.
The oldest one is, not because he's the oldest, but he's
I meant greatest. I didn't say oldest. I meant greatest.
He's the greatest, smartest, and
the biggest Talmud Chacham. I'm not taking his IQ. I'm not doing anything. He is the one that they look to as their Rebbe, as their leader.
Right. So you know, they want to get the most advice. How will I think? I might have on the lower rung, and my thinking might be wrong. And if I hear the smartest, greatest speaking.
The Torah said we go by majority votes. The Torah did not say that if the Rebbe says one way, everybody has to fall into line. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and they're supposed to express their opinion. And there's a vote taken, and whoever's the majority wins, even if the head is in the other side.
Okay. So is there a lot of even vata on his covers and let other people go first?
By Dinin Nefashos, no. I'm sorry, by Dinin Nefashos, he's not allowed to go first. There's a special series of customs that they can't vote against him. So therefore he has to vote last. And by Dinin Mamonos, they are allowed to vote against him, so therefore he should go first. Why not? He's the greatest. Respect. He can be Michael on that. Listen, Avraham Cohen is entitled to bench wherever he is because he's the Kayan. He can be Michael. We say Bishus Kayan.
Last time they say
Bishus Kayan,
they didn't even ask me.
They never asked you. We can talk about that next week in the Gemara.
It's not fair. Give me a chance.
Okay, I mean, we're going to talk about it next week in the Gemara. You'll have your chance to exercise your Kahuna right. Next week is all about you. A good portion of the week, we'll be talking about you. And this is here because he said something before, so we bring another statement to this name. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu to Rebbe, the Metzinu Tairik Dula B'Makam Echad, we did not find that the greatest in Torah should be the greatest in riches. That the same person was the richest, greatest Talmud Chacham in Klal Yisrael. It didn't happen from the days of Moshe to the days of Rebbe. Rashi, b'makom echad, t'tzarasan u'gdolasan Yisrael b'makom echad, t'ein b'Yisrael gadol b'Torah u'v'aysher k'maysay. He was the undisputed leader in every aspect. Wasn't Yeshua Tyrek Dula B'Makam Echad? Dr. Gemara, no, Havi Elazar. There was somebody as big as him or in the same league as him in learning, and that was Elazar.
What's the Dula mean?
Rashi says riches.
Yeah.
The Gemara is assuming that Yeshua was the greatest Talmud Chacham and the biggest, richest person.
Right, that's the Dula.
What?
You don't have to be the President of the United States to be the richest person. It says prominence here.
See, it's true. Who says prominence? Archibald.
Well, Rashi.
See, no. See, it would make more sense if it's prominence.
Preeminent.
What?
Preeminent.
He was the greatest. Preeminent means he's the greatest.
Well, no, Rashi says. Rashi says,
Aisher. That's why I had difficulty. Who says Yeshua was the richest? By Moshe, it says in the Pasuk he was very, very wealthy. But by Yeshua, it doesn't say it. But Rashi, the Gemara is assuming it. That's why Artsko went to the word prominence. And since he didn't expect you to go to the dictionary, he got away with it. Frank the Gemara Bobby Yeshua, Dr. Gemara Havi Elazar. Elazar was there in the same league as Yeshua. Frank the Gemara Bobby Elazar. Yeshua died first. Elazar was left all by himself. Wasn't he Tyreg Dula? So the Gemara Havi Pinchas. At that point, he had a son named Pinchas that was in the same league. Frank the Gemara Bobby Pinchas. After Elazar died, the Gemara Havi Skenim. At that point, there were the Skenim that were in the same league as Pinchas. Rashi. V'havei Elazar yachid l'achar shenifti Yeshua, v'havei Pinchas l'achar Elazar tayre gdula, shayin kayin gadol achar achviv. And the kayin gadol was always wealthy, so he was the kayin gadol after his father. Haviskeinim shekiblu mi Yeshua, v'richu yamim achra, and they lived a long time for the siv, asher richu yamim achra Yeshua. Frek the Gemara Havishol, Shol was the greatest in learning, and the Gemara is assuming he was king, so therefore he was gdula, so he was tayre and gdula. But the Gemara Havi Shmuel. Shmuel was around. That was as big as Shaul in learning. Frank the Gemara Vanach Namche Shmuel predeceased Shaul. So wasn't Shaul the biggest? That the Gemara Kulishani Kamina. We mean during his whole life. You're right. At the time Shmuel died and Shaul was left by himself, at that point he was Tyre Gdula. Interestingly enough, even though David was alive. But the Gemara doesn't say Havi David. The Gemara says Havi Shaul, meaning that Shmuel died first. But since Shaul and Shmuel overlapped most of the time, therefore we don't count Shaul as Tyre Gdula b'makom echad. Rashi, Dr. Rashi, Shaul gadol b'tayre hayah. Elosh le'limed l'acherim, he didn't teach others. Kamina be'erzim, Shaul le'goli m'sechta, Shaul didn't teach his learning. Lo'achik sivbe b'chol ha'shiyifne yarshia. Wherever he turned, he was wicked. It doesn't mean he was wicked, he just didn't share his learning with others. Frek the Gemara. But Rashi, v'noch navshe nishmul kaidim shol, kulu shani, v'sha amad b'gdula, te tayra gdula b'makam echad. All the years from when he became great, he should be the only one of tayra gdula. V'zeh, b'tchilas gdula sari lo yachad hai b'tayra. When he came king, there was Shmuel. So therefore, you don't count him as tayra gdula b'makam echad. What Rashi's trying to answer is, nobody is tayra gdula b'makam echad all his life. Everybody starts off at 10, or 5, and they have to grow into Tyre and grow into Gdula. So what do we mean? Kulashani Kamrinan. All his years. Yeah, and my Rabbeinu also wasn't Tyre Gdula B'makom Echad when he was one. Tyre, from his years of Gdula, he was the greatest in Tyre. And Shaul, in his years of Gdula, had Shmuel. Then Shmuel died. But during his whole reign of Gdula, he was not the greatest in learning only. There was Shmuel. That's what Rashi is explaining the Gemara. Because the Gemara says we need it all his life. There's no one who's Tyre Gdula all his life. Everybody starts off at one day old. What's Kulishani? There it says, from when he becomes Gdula, he was the greatest in Tyre. Shaul was not the greatest in Tyre when he became king. He had somebody as great as him, Shmuel. Or maybe greater. My Rabbeinu, from when he became my Rabbeinu, was that exactly. And Rebbe was not that way. That's the Chiddush. Rebbe was the richest and greatest in Tyre at the same time. What? That's when he became rich, right? Yeah. But he was the leader of Kali Yisrael, prominence. Before that.
Right.
And he was the greatest in Tyre the way before.
He wasn't the greatest.
He wasn't the richest.
Right.
So I don't know. But that's not, yeah, but Rashi wrote it very carefully. From when he became the richest, he was the greatest in Tyre.
Oh.
That's what Rashi says.
Shmuel died before Shaul died.
Right.
So therefore, what happens if...
Then the Gemara asked the Kasha about Shaul. The Gemara answered he wasn't the biggest in Tyre because he had Shmuel. In fact, the Gemara Shmuel predeceased him.
Yeah.
So he was the biggest. So Rashi took the Gemara, all his years he wasn't the biggest.
Years
Shaul's. He overlapped with Shmuel.
Right.
So the question is, so Rashi has a problem. Nobody is Kulishani. The Rashi, all his years of Gdula, he was the greatest of Tyra.
How does Gushani answer this thing about Shmuel? Because he died.
It answers Saul after Shmuel dies.
After Shmuel dies, that continues to be the biggest.
Again, the Gemara asks, how could Rabba, in the name of Raval, say that there was no Tyrek Dula B'Makamecha till Rebbe? Wasn't Saul Tyrek Dula B'Makamecha? Gemara answered, he wasn't because of Shmuel. But the Gemara says Shmuel died, so he was.
That period of Shmuel, then, he wasn't all shiny. That's what he means.
Right.
In this case.
Right. So Rashi's explaining what kula shiny means.
Had Shmuel not existed, then...
Correct. Frank the Gemara Vahava David. Wasn't David Tarek Gdula B'Makamecha? Meaning, when he became Gdula, he was the greatest in learning. So the Gemara Vahava Ira Ha'iri. There was Ira Ha'iri, who was great in learning like David. Tracting Gemara Vanoch Navshe, Ira died. Gemara gives the same answer, Kuli Shadi Binan. Wasn't all his years. Now, the Ben Yada asked, we just gave that answer. Why are we repeating the question when we know the answer? Zug to Ben Yada, we thought Shaul and Shmuel overlapped most of Shaul's reign. Ben David and Ira, David's main years came after Ira died. So we thought the first answer was Kulishani. The majority of years, Shmuel was there. By David and Ira, the majority of years, Ira wasn't there. And for the Gemara, we still say that it's not Kulishani. Rashi? Ira Iri? God will betray Rabbi. I mean, my cut, I'm a masnul, Rabban, I'm a car of successes. He taught the Rabbanan sitting on pillows. Frank the Gemara Abba Shloima. Shloima was the Tyrek Dula B'Makamachan from when he became king. But the Gemara Abba Shimi Ben Gera. It was Shimi Ben Gera was around who was the biggest, was big in learning. He was a Reish Beten. He was a Chashiva person. And therefore, he wasn't Tyra. Frank the Gemara Abba Katmai, but Shloima killed him. Now, Gemara answers the same thing. Kulushani kamina. The Ben Yehuda speaks out that the Hagmina the Gemara was since he was David had told Shloiman to kill him. That was one of the commands. Get rid of Shimi Ben Gera. So he's already considered not alive. And therefore the Gemara considered it as Shloiman was alone. That the Gemara is not true because Shimi Ben Gera was there. Well, Katmai means the Gemara's Hagmina was, but he was destined to die. He was meant to die as fast as possible. The answer is, but the Maisa, he was still alive for most some of the time.
How can you say Shlomo was not the Chacham Mikalon because that's a
positive? What?
Since Shlomo was the Chacham Mikalon,
right.
How can you say that somebody was
in Tyra, there was somebody as great as him in the same league, Shimi Ben Gera. Chacham Mikalon doesn't mean he became the biggest Tamil Chacham that ever lived.
No.
The Rai's Maisa was much bigger than him. Chacham Mikalon means he became the wisest person. Now, that means that I assume the wisest person knows how to learn, God's fine. But Shimi Ben Gera might know how to learn just as well, or in the same league. Nobody was in Maitre Rabbeinu's league. These people had people in their league. I don't know what decides the league, but that's what the Gemara is answering. Rebbe had no one in his league.
Chochmah was not Torah necessarily. I mean, he had Torah, I understand that. But the Chochmah refers to...
everything! He was Chochmah Mikaladim and everything! When the Queen of Sheba came to test him according to the Medrash, she didn't ask him how long Akash is. When the two ladies came and argued about the baby, they didn't ask him a Tyra Shaila of Shatan Rashba. He was Chochmah Mikaladim. It definitely included Tyra. I want to make it clear. He was not an Amharic by any stretch of the imagination.
That's where he got
it. The Chacham was referring to...
he was the wisest person that ever lived. Chacham Mikaladam.
I know, but in the lightest person, he would be more oimic in the Torah than anyone else.
He wasn't as big as Maitre Rabbeinu.
I get that. Fine. But in his generation...
again, the Gemara is saying Shimi Ben Gera was in the league. I don't know what the league is. You know what I mean? I don't know what the boundaries of the league are.
It's not just the boundaries, Rabbi. I think people are trying to, are upset about that.
Nobody's upset. Everybody's very happy here. We run a very happy year.
They're tied. How does that make any sense?
I didn't say tied. I was very careful.
You said tied just now.
I did not. I said the same league. Same league doesn't mean they're exactly the same. It means one is not overshadowing the other. He's in the ballpark. 12-barrel wine, everything has a sports muscle. League, ballpark, everything is going to have a sports muscle. What? Read the Gemara. Have a Chizkiyah. Chizkiyah was a king. He was the greatest in Tyre and Gdullah. The Gemara had a Shavna. Shavna had more Tamidim than Chizkiyah. It's obviously he was in the same league of learning. Frech the Gemara Ito. Shavna got killed by Sancheriv. He joined the other side. He surrendered to Sancheriv and he killed him. So he didn't live as long as Chizkiyah. And for the Gemara, Kulishani can be done. And again, I guess the Gemara's Havamina was, since he was killed by Sancheriv, that he wasn't the greatest. He gave in, meaning he did the wrong thing. He shouldn't count. The Gemara says, yeah, but Meisa was in the same league of learning all those years. Rashi, Chizkiyah Melech Yehuda Gadol B'Torah Hayah K'Davina B'Chelek. Shavna Gadol B'Torah Hayah K'Davina B'Sanhedrin. Shavna Abedarish B'Kleisi Rivasa. He had 13 times 10,000 Tamidim. That means, for those who know math, 130,000 Tamidim. Chizkiyah B'Chatshvei Rivasa. He died for 110,000. Iktil Sancheriv Harga K'Davina B'Zebairer. Says in the third parak of Sanhedrin that Sancheriv killed him.
He had so many students, so he...
Yes.
That's what I mean. He wasn't giving a speech to
13. That means he said students. He gave cheer to that amount of people.
He gave a cheer to 130,000
people. That's what he says. He used to say his halacha, that the people came to hear a cheer. Were they there for every cheer? I don't know. Dr. Gemara Bike.
You know, what's interesting is that...
Yes.
Was Rabbeinu was leading a country...
He is, by Yibush for a Melech.
That's right. Yafilu Hachi.
That's Rabbeinu?
Yeah. I'm saying, all of them, they're all leaving the country, and there's no time to learn. Yafilu Hachi.
I mean, they used every spare minute to learning, and they had a lot of shots in Shemaya.
That's what I was trying to...
Dr. Gemara Baba Ezra. Ezra Cipher, biggest in learning, leader of Klal Yisrael, having a chemia with Chakalia. Is that Chakalia? How do you pronounce that word? I'm Rabbi Acha Bein Rabba Bani Eimer. I have something to add to what Rabbi Bein Rabba or Rav Hill Bein Rabba said. Bani Eimer be my Rebbe by Rav Ashi, the Metzinu Terek Dula B'Makim Echad. Rav Ashi was also the greatest in learning, and the most prominent, richest, probably according to Rashi, person in Klal Yisrael, Frek de Gemar Veloi, the Haver Hunner Bar Nassim. The Reish Galusa at the time of Rav Ashi was Hunner Bar Nassim, and he was a very great person. Dr. Gemara, Shiner Hunner Bar Nassim, the maker of Hekayv Leila Rav Ashi. As great as he was, he humbled himself in front of Rav Ashi. He was not in Rav Ashi's league. He was a step under, whatever that means. Okay. By the way, you see clearly the hashgacha of the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Tyra was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Hamishah Chumshi Tyra dictated by the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Tyra Shabbat Peh was organized or written by Machlekes Rishonim by Rebbe Mishnayos, and then the Gemara was written by Rav Ashi. So you see, the Rabbeinu Shlomo sent people who were the undisputed leaders of their generation to put into place what Klai so needs, the island boy. That's what you see. Clearly see that Ashkelacha, the Rabbi Nishlelem. Rav Ashi was the Tyrek Dula, therefore his Gemara went. We don't know what would have happened if he wasn't Tyrek Dula. It's speculative. Rabbi was Tyrek Dula, therefore his Mishnayos got accepted. There were many Mishnayos before Rebbe. Let me try to explain. Every Tana had his own Mishnayos. You went to Rebbe Akiva's yeshiva, he taught you Mishnayos Rebbe Akiva. You went to a mayor's yeshiva, he taught you Mishnayos from mayor. His own opinion about every Shaila. Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Nechemya, Rebbe Eliezer, every Tana. Rebbe went and redacted, got together all the Mishnayos and decided which should go into the final version of Mishnah. And put in the opinions he thought should be there. Either he wrote it down or not, as a machlokes rishonim. Some rishonim say he wrote it down, some rishonim say he just put it together. But that became the version of Mishnah that was accepted. Now, what gave Rebbe that ability? Why was his accepted more than his father's and his grandfather's and his Rebbe and his grandfather's Rebbe? Answer is, he was Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was it. He was Tairik Dula B'Makom Echad. That gave him that Siyata Dishmaya to be accepted by everybody. And the same with Rav Ashi. Organize Gemara, bring the opinions that should be brought, the questions that should be brought, the answers that should be brought, leave out what should not be said. He did it together with Ravina, but it was Rav Ashi and Ravina that were Masada the Gemara. And lo and behold, the Rav Ashi made sure he's Tairik Dula B'Makom Echad. Unquestioned leader in Klal Yisrael. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens because there's a Rabbi Nishleilam. He makes sure that the people who are necessary to get a job done have the ability to get the job done.
But it seems that having money
is a milah. It's a beautiful milah.
It's a milah, and ready for this? That's why Klal Yisrael is accepting them.
To an extent.
Yes.
To an extent. We accept the Chazai Nish, even though he was not rich. But if the Chazai Nish would have been rich at the biggest Talmud Chacham, his influence would have been greater.
Yes.
No doubt. 100%. 100%. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in the Dharam. I don't have to agree. It's a Gemara.
Are you saying that a Lamaila or is that a Tzar?
It's a fact.
When people see rich people, they like... They're subordinate to them. That's the way it is. It's sad to have it that way.
The reality of the world is that the Navi, the Gemara says in the Dharm, had to be rich because that helped his Matthias. It's a fact. Rich people have more influence.
But our Gedolim now, they're so poor.
You're right. Therefore, their influence is limited.
That's right.
Rav Ashi would not have been able, I don't know, I'm speculating. It helped that he was very rich, and the most prominent person in Klal Yisrael, so he was able to get it done. Rebbe lived in the time of the Romans. They were persecuting the Yidden. All of a sudden, popped up a king that was very friendly to the Yidden, Antoninus. Aquinas, was he Megayer, was he not Megayer? Bottom of the line, he was a Roman emperor who helped Rebbe. Allowed Rebbe, allowed the atmosphere to be there for Rebbe. It didn't happen in a vacuum. It happened because the Rabbi Nishlam decided, not that he decides or not decides, whatever it is, that now it's time for Mishnayos. Okay, we'll get Mishnayos done. So whatever needs to be in place to get Mishnayos done was done. Whatever needs in place to get Rav Ashi's Gemara done was done. So it happens. To a smaller, much smaller extent. The Rabbi Nishlam put certain Gedolim into Klal Yisrael in certain generations to save Klal Yisrael from whatever winds and storms are coming. The Gra, the Baal Shem Tov, Reb Chaim, Rashi, the Rambam. They created a whole move, a whole Matthias. Rashi saved Eileen and Gemara. Without Rashi, we'd be lost souls. Your eye is, take a look at Yerushalmi. We struggle in Yerushalmi. There's no Rashi. There's nobody that feeds it to us on a platter. Meryl Wine tells a story about a person who gave a shiur in Chicago. And he didn't know how to learn much. He just knew how to read Rashi, and he translated Rashi. Whatever, there was no Rashi, he was lost. So he said, see, Rashi didn't know either, so I can know you. That's what he used to say. That's a bare wine. The guy said he had no idea. He just knew how to read Rashi and translate Rashi. When there was no Rashi, he was lost. So he said, see, I'm not the only one that didn't know. Rashi didn't write anything here either. No, but Rashi saved Klal Yisrael. The Rebbeinu Shem, I heard this from my Rebbe. The Rebbeinu Shem sends people in the right generations to make sure that Klal Yisrael survives. If we wouldn't have Reb Chaim Derech HaLimud now, we would be cooked. Reb Chaim introduced that new Derech HaLimud that saved Klal Yisrael.
What is that Derech HaLimud?
To be able to be my... Before Reb Chaim, the way to learn was vast knowledge. It wasn't to dissect the sugya on its own merits without having to know. You had to know almost everything before you could... No, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Reb Chaim. He changed the Derech HaLimud in yeshivas.
So people thought they'd have to know all of
Shas. It was a Matzias. The Tzais HaKaishin couldn't write the Tzais without knowing every Tzais and Shas on his fingertips.
He changed it by allowing people to...
He introduced a way of thinking that allowed people to be able to say and understand without having to have that vast knowledge. I'm not going to get involved in the longest food, but that's what it was. He did. It's a fact. It's a fact. He dissected a sugya without having to have that vast knowledge. He did have the vast knowledge.
Okay, and before that?
They didn't do it that way. It didn't. What? They didn't think that way. They weren't trained to think that way.
How did they learn?
They learned Shas and knew every Tysus, and when a question came up, they were able to compare this Tysus and that Tysus and that sort.
Very few people could learn.
It limited the amount of... Exactly, it would have been less and less as it went on. He came along and introduced this and made it possible. It's not for this year, but that's... I'm Kachaluk of Vladimir Rabbi Zayn. He also added, my Rebbe, that Tzar Shneer was the one that the Rebbeinu Shlom sent to save Klal Yisrael. Because if not, if there would have been no lady like Tzar Shneer, we would also have been pretty cooked. Because the girls wouldn't have been supportive of Torah. She introduced the Beis Yaakov movement, saved.
I'm just asking this, but did he know
Rebbeinu Osman?
I just
want to
know.
Again, Rebbeinu Osman didn't introduce Beis Yaakov. Tzar Shneer did. He didn't know Tzar Shneer either. Rebbeinu Osman is an outgrowth of Tzar Shneer.
When did
she live? Tzar Shneer? Right after she started Beis Yaakov, right after World War I. That's when she got the agreement of the Gerer Rebbe to start the Beis Yaakov movement.
Prior to that,
there's no education for girls. No organized education. Girls learned from their mothers. Therefore, when intellectual culture became available, they were pulled. This was fun. This was exciting. And she had to teach them that Torah is more exciting.
Where did she live?
In Krakow.
She allowed girls to learn Torah about that. Something like
that? Every gadol of Paskin differently on that.
She had the
Pesach of the Gerer Rebbe. Whatever she did, she didn't do what they do today. She did less Torah Shabbat than they do today. But again, every God will pass is that. That's for every God will pass not for me. Dr. Mishnah Night. Cheresh Raimez V'Nirmaz. A Cheresh can sell by using his hand, sign language. Sign language, his head, that's sign language. The Mesei Raimer, Kaifetz V'Nikvetz. He can make with his mouth. That's not as good as sign language. The Gemara, don't ask me why, because I struggled with this. The Gemara seems to say the movement of lips is not as indicative as sign language and the bobbing of the head. I don't know why, but that's what it is. This is a person that can't talk. So if he can't talk, he can't speak it out. So he has to communicate. And the way he communicates is by either sign language or by moving his mouth. So, it seems that the Tanakhama needs a higher level of communication. Now, the Gemara in the seventh paragraph is talking about writing. So we're not talking about writing now. We're talking about verbal. Now, he can't speak. So is sign language or his movement of lips. The Gemara seems to think, and again, I'm not sure why, that sign language is a greater indication than movement of lips.
He has no real sign language. He's pointing things up.
I don't know why you say that.
I don't think there was a universal sign language.
I don't know if it was a universal one. You're right. He used his hands to get the message across. I'll believe it at that.
For what purposes are
they? Selling.
Oh,
only buying.
Only financial transactions.
Financial transactions. Well, it is. It's going to be the gay kedushin and get. Exactly, that rabbinically he can marry through remiza.
But a simon that a person who could do more and doesn't is not effective.
Well, you want to sell something, you say, I want to sell it, no?
I'm asking is can they do remiza also?
I mean, I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
I'll give you a raya. Rebbe also always brings that case over there from the jewelry store owner that used to shake hands and stuff. That was
a kinyan after they had a verbal agreement.
But it was a kinyan, right?
Every kinyan is not verbal, it's an action. Cherish is automatically I'm going to get involved in the whole subject of Cherish. Let's just say a Cherish in those days, what I'm going to talk about today, automatically was mentally challenged because there was no means of communication. His communication was limited, and therefore his ability intellectually was limited. Because he was limited in his interaction with people. The reason I'm saying that is because it opens up a big machlokes, which I'm not going to get involved in, about today, where we can communicate with Cheresh. Does he have halacha of Cheresh or not? That's a major machlokes across the spectrum. With the one of the Gdalim saying he walked into Vienna in between World War I and World War II, where they had a center where they taught people that couldn't hear how to speak and how to function. And he said, if Chazal would have seen this, they would have treated Cheresh differently. And on the other end of the spectrum is Shlomo Zalman. And he says that anybody that can't speak and talk means there's a miswiring in the brain that makes them not responsible, not reliable for mitzvahs. Not responsible or reliable. Now, that's one end of the spectrum. That's the other end of the spectrum. That's today. In the time of the Mishnah, there was no argument. Question is, was Cheresh because of the time in the Mishnah, or is Cheresh miswired?
So
the Zalman holds the Cheresh is miswired.
So what does this
remiza help? It indicates his desire to make a kinyan.
So that of this intellectual...
He has some intellectual ability, which is recognized through remiza or kvitza, at least rabbinically. Not biblically, rabbinically. That's why he can do... That's why he can marry... That's why he can divorce.
Yeah, but, kind of mitzvahs?
No.
But if he knew, if his brains were wired correctly, he might not have done this kinyan.
Rabbanan came along and said that if he indicates a desire to do a kinyan, we recognize the kinyan.
But he may be missing points.
That's true, but Rabbanan came along and said it works anyway.
Does he feel good?
No, because he has to survive, that's why. He has to live. He has to be able to buy and sell and marry and divorce.
That's what you have an apotropos for.
He's an adult person. He has a limited amount
of
adults.
That's what you have an apotropos
for. Okay, because I'll disagree with you. I can't tell you. If you would have voted then, you would have been in the best. No, yeah, I said, you would have been. I'm middle, tell you.
I'm in middle.
Describing, I was saying if you would have been on the Bethan, maybe you would have been the last vote, the first vote, I don't know.
I'll be the Benoni.
I thought you're kind of going to Yaakov. I didn't say you're a Benoni.
Rashi Benoni is good also.
Rashi, Raimis Veneers of Mashu Kayim, Mashu Raimis and Waibu Misratza Kayim. They signal to him and he shakes his head. It works. Remiza Biyadavu Barashai, Tvitza Akima Svasayim, should have a cuff to pee up. She moved her mouth. The Ainer Simon Nikra Kiramiza. Zugdigamarba Metalklin. It only works by movable objects, not by land. Rashi and Macha Metalklin. Pa'utais, young children. Now, not too young. The Gemara is going to get involved when it's Pa'utais. Mekra Mekrachum Emkara Memkra Metalklin. Chazal also instituted that even though they're Ktanim, they can go into Ungers and buy a donut. If they're cutting, how can they give the money for the donut? Answer is, cutting dry bonon, that they can, which we will discuss in mentorship. Next week, there's no Shear Sunday, Monday morning, 6 o'clock.